Well, happy Valentine's Day, which is a fairly unusual way to begin the first Sunday of Lent, actually. Lent and Easter will come a bit early this year as compared to many years. So we are celebrating today also one of the minor festivals of the church, the martyrdom of Saint Valentine in the third century. And as you go downstairs today, if you come down for a little fellowship, you'll see that the celebration for Saint Valentine is mostly happening downstairs today. We are going to focus this morning in this first Sunday of Lent on what has become our theme for the season of Lent, and that is reconciliation. Blair wrote in the Tidings, if you have picked up a copy of that or saw that online, she said, "This Lent, I invite you to join me in a journey of learning more about the Christian gift and practice of reconciliation and of what it might look like in our lives and in the world." These texts today that we have heard read speak to us of reconciliation, perhaps not as directly as you might think, so allow me to help bring some clarity to some of that. But our entire gospel, the story of the Bible, is a story of reconciliation. The story from creation to our falling away from God and to the entire rest of the story from Genesis to Revelation is about God's faithfulness in drawing us back to God, God's faithfulness in reconciling us to God through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, God's work through the Holy Spirit and the church, through the stories of the New Testament in drawing people to God through the church and His apostles, and finally we come to the revelation at the end of the books of the Bible, where all things are reconciled with God in Christ. All of creation is drawn together. People of all nations come to the throne of God, and we have this beautiful vision of what it looks like when things are the way God intends them to be. The entire Bible can be read through that lens of reconciliation and as the story of God reconciling God's self to us and drawing us always closer to God. So if you look at today's readings in light of that idea of reconciliation, I heard a line at the end of the Deuteronomy text that I had not paid much attention to before, and the lens that you bring to a text kind of shapes what you'll hear and see in the text. You've probably experienced that if you've done much dwelling in the Word, that you see something different one day than what you saw on another day. Usually when I hear that Deuteronomy text, I hear this whole recounting of the history of Israel and being brought from Egypt and given their land. And I hear about these people bringing their gifts to the temple and to the priests and offering these sacrifices to God. But the part that stuck out to me today as I thought about this in light of reconciliation is the last line of that text. It says, "Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that your Lord your God has given to you and to your house." So at the end of this text, after these offerings have been brought to the temple, those who bring their offerings and the Levites, the priests, and the aliens in the land who were kind of like the folks that had been set aside when the people of Israel moved into this promised land, they're all to gather together and feast upon these gifts. It's a bit of reconciliation, or at least a foretaste of what that might look like. And then there's a line in the text of Romans is one of my favorite texts, but there's a line in there that almost always catches my attention, and that is, there is no longer Jew nor Greek. So we are not to see the divisions among us that divide us, but we are to see that we are no longer Jew nor Greek, but we are all one in God. There's that take and understanding of reconciliation that Paul brings to us. And then, of course, we have the gospel reading. This temptation in the wilderness, after Jesus had been baptized and drawn by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, at the end of that time, the devil comes and tries to do the opposite of reconciliation, tries to get Jesus to break relationship with God, to break relationship with who Jesus is as the Son of God, and to sin. He calls him to some fairly popular sins that many of us often succumb to. And these are the kinds of sins that break relationship with one another. These are the kinds of sins that work against reconciliation. So think of the things that that the devil does when the devil comes to Jesus. You haven't eaten for 40 days. You're starving. He says, make some bread. You can do this. Show me you're the Son of God. You can make bread. Jesus says, I don't live by bread alone. But how many of us have fallen into that trap of being concerned about our appetites and our hungers and our needs and have put that in front of the appetites and needs of others, perhaps? There is a point here Jesus is trying to make, I think, that yes, I'm hungry, but eating now is not the most important thing. When we are hungry, we are eat and we are blessed to eat. But the sin and the temptation for us is to keep on gathering and to keep on and to do that in the face of others who do not have enough to eat. It breaks apart the possibility of reconciliation when our selfishness gets in the way. Then there's the second test. He comes to Jesus and he says, look at all of these lands before you. The devil says, they're all mine. I'll give you power and authority over them if you just worship me. Jesus says, worship only the Lord your God and serve no other. But how often are we also tempted to claim power, to claim authority over others, to cling to the power and authority that we have, and just to remind us of white privilege, the power and the authority that we have just because of the system that we live in, for those of us who are a part of that white culture. There is power and authority that we claim and cling to. And part of being reconciled with others is to let go of some of that power and authority in order that it might be shared in a way that is more God-like, that is more like what God desires for God's future. And it's not easy. It's a temptation that Jesus was able to resist that we find more challenging. Then there's the last one. And this comes directly, interestingly enough, from Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, which the devil is quoting, good for him, he reads his Bible. He says, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near you or your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On your hands they will bear you up, and that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Now these are incredible words of hope for us who call upon the Lord and call upon God's name, that no harm shall come to us, that God's angels will lift us up and bear us up, and that we will come to no danger in our tents. This is good news. But the devil takes that good news in this text and turns it around on Jesus and says, look, jump off the temple. You'll be fine. God has promised your foot's not going to dash against a stone. And Jesus doesn't fall for that one either. He says, do not put your God to the test. And yet we fall for that one sometimes. When we think that somehow this promise that we have from God that he will protect us allows us to do foolish things, that allows us to think that we are blessed among nations or among peoples, that and we take it to the point of thinking, well, you know, God loves us best, so it's okay, the things that we do as a nation, as a people. For there is no Jew nor Greek, all people are God's people. It's these temptations that we face and often fail in that put up the blocks to reconciliation in our lives, that put up barriers to being in right relationship with God and with God's people. And we repent of our failures. We give thanks to God for the gift of being able to be faithful when we are able to be faithful. But we confess that we often are not. Reconciliation is something we're going to be talking about, and I've been thinking about it quite a bit in the last couple of weeks, especially in preparation for Lent, reading the book on reconciling all things that we are invited to join along in reading. It's a very strong, powerful book, as Blair has said, and I'll talk more about that in the announcements. But as you think about reconciliation, I've been trying to get a handle on what is it? What does it really mean? So I looked it up. You know, the dictionary will tell us all things. The dictionary says reconciliation is to become friendly again. Huh. At first I thought, well, that's a little trite. Seems harder than that. But the in which that's what it means to be reconciled. It's to be friendly again. But I think it's more. Because friendliness can be, you know, Facebook friends. Or friendliness can be lay down your life for your friends. So what does it mean to be friendly again? I think Jesus has more in mind reconciliation as being willing to lay down our lives for God's kingdom, for God's intent, for what is coming in the world. So I think reconciliation can't be going back to the way things were. There's that reconciliation part, which kind of makes it sound like you go back to something, you return to something. But most of the time when reconciliation needs to happen, there's nothing to go back to. Whether it's in our personal relationships, it might be a marriage or something that has had trouble. After that kind of trouble in marriage, you can't go back to what was. You could only go forward to what might be. We think about reconciliation a lot in terms of race relations these days. But we think about our race relations in this country, there's nothing to go back to that is preferable. There is only that which is possible in the future that we can be reconciled to and with, God's preferred future for our relationships with one another. So what we are reconciled to is not being friendly again the way we used to be friendly, but it's becoming God's people together, moving into God's preferred future and God's kingdom. An example. In 1978, President Jimmy Carter brought Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin to Camp David. Egypt and Israel still having some battles. They never quite got that totally resolved back there in Exodus. There were wars going on in the Middle East. Carter brought Begin and Sadat to Camp David to work this out. The incredible thing was they did work it out. A peace treaty came out of that. Sadat and Begin received the Nobel Peace Prize for what they accomplished there at Camp David in those negotiations. And Anwar Sadat ended up being assassinated because of his willingness to sign that peace agreement by radicals from his own country. The interesting thing in this, for me, this reconciliation that came to be in this place was how it happened. There were many times when this negotiation really broke down. And Lisa and I, my daughter, went to Atlanta to the Jimmy Carter Museum. There's a piece that they tell about in his presidential library in Atlanta that doesn't get talked about in the history books so much. But when those leaders were about to walk out of the negotiation, Carter met with them individually, sat down with them over a cup of coffee or whatever they were drinking, and he invited them to pull out their pictures of their grandkids. And he said, okay, what's the future you want for them? And it was actually that cup of coffee and those pictures that got them to stay and to keep talking and to work through what they had been working through so that some kind of peace treaty and some kind of reconciliation could happen. It wasn't returning back to what had been. It was a wondering about what could be if we make this move of reconciliation. That's what God calls us to. Presiding Bishop Michael Curry has talked about reconciliation as well. It's one of the priorities of the Episcopal Church for this year is reconciliation and to learn about this. He says, we who follow Jesus are in the business of seeking to transform things from the way they are into something closer to the way God wants them to be. That's what reconciliation is. Taking things from where they are to something closer to what God wants them to be. Our own Episcopal Church website has a Lenten series called Engaging the Beloved Community. It's about this Lent for the Episcopal Church is also focused on this idea of beloved community and being reconciled with one another into that community. That name, Beloved Community, comes from Martin Luther King Jr., who in December 3rd, 1956, I don't remember it, I was about a month old at that point, but he said, "The end is reconciliation. The end is redemption. The end is the creation of the beloved community." That was the vision in 1956 that was drawing him and people who followed him into those years, the tumultuous years that came after that, as reconciliation and equality was sought in that movement. Reconciliation is moving into the way things could be, the way things should be. It's God's preferred future for us and for all of creation. It's that biblical image of the coming of the kingdom of God. So if you want to learn more about this, dig into your Bibles and find all the places where it talks about what that kingdom is supposed to be like. And then those of us who have been given this ministry of reconciliation, we join God in bringing about that kingdom wherever we are in all of our relationships. We seek to become the beloved community. So, what do? Spend some time this Lent thinking about your relationships. Are there relationships that are broken where reconciliation needs to be happening? Ask yourself, what is God's preferred future for that relationship, whether it be someone in your family or friends or workplaces or schools or our neighborhoods as we deal with the issues of Black Lives Matter and the things facing us and the issues of poverty and all of those things? How do we say no to those temptations for our own selfish interests and our own clinging to power and our own serving those who are not God? How do we say no to that as Jesus did in the wilderness and say yes to being in a reconciled relationship with God and with one another? That's one thing to think about this Lenten season. And then as we gather together to do this as community, I invite you to come back this Thursday evening. We're having a three-part Lenten series. It begins this Thursday when we're going to gather together with people from Holy Trinity Episcopal Church, gather together to have conversation and be in relationship around this idea of reconciliation, using the book Reconciling All Things as a kicking-off point for that. So come and be in community at 6 o'clock. There will be some delicious food. 6:45, there will be rich conversation and a time when we can sit with our brothers and sisters from Holy Trinity and think about what reconciliation might mean for us in our community. It's a vision for what things should look like, what things could like. It's joining God in God's ministry of reconciling all creation for the sake of God's kingdom, God's beloved community. May God bless you in your Lent as we journey in this together. In God's name we pray. Amen.